Let's go ahead and call the planning committee to order, 9:45 a.m. The next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the October 2nd meeting. Do I have a motion?
Move for approval, Madam Chair.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Moving on to item 3, public comment. If you are here for public comment, you have 2 minutes and 30 seconds to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, and you'll have, and I'll set my timer. Is there anyone here?
Good morning, Scott Schmitz, 1193 Sharpstown Court. I'm here today for commentary about the Market Oakland impact assessment and conceptual plan, and we're looking forward to that commercial development to be added to the town's tax rolls, and we plan to take advantage of the services and the restaurant proposed. I'm a resident of the Porches Preserve neighborhood, with our primary resident entrance being the Bella Oaks Drive intersection with Porches Bluff, which is immediately opposite of the this proposed plan. The plan has an entrance that they propose with multiple different turning gestures that are in opposition to Bella Oaks, and the proposal itself says that Bella Oaks will have an unacceptable level of service due to that. So that caused me to take a deeper dive into the plan itself, and in my opinion, it's flawed in many different ways. So if I can go through some of the details on it. So let's start about traffic estimates on Porches Bluff. In the westbound section going from Billy's Wales to 17, they're projecting a PM peak hour of 595 vehicles. Briefly mentions the completion of the Billy Swales 4B section in the similar time frame of August 2025, but throws up their hands and says they have no idea how many more vehicles it will add. However, I looked at the Billy Swales plans in the 2040 traffic analysis performed by the town, estimates 629 vehicles will go from the 4B section to the existing Billy Swales section. And on that Billy Swales section, it will terminate at Porches Bluff. There's dead end there. And most of those vehicles will turn left to go past this proposed intersection. So because of that, it's my belief that their estimates for the traffic is low by 50 to 100%, making the idea of doing left turns across that problematic. Let's talk about the eastbound Porches Bluff going from 17 to Billy Swales. They admit that the existing traffic requires them to create a left turn lane in order to not conflict with the through traffic. And they propose taking...
Sir, your time is up. Thank you so much for coming to speak. Is there anyone else here for public comment?
Jason Milner, Civil Site Environmental, with the engineer working on the site development for Market at Oakland, 668 Marina Drive, B1, Charleston, 29492. The traffic impacts for this were vetted with town transportation. The left turn lane was recommended for the increase in the traffic flow into the project. If there are any specific questions, I'd be happy to try and answer those as best I can.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else for public comment? All right, public comment is now closed. Moving on to item 4A. Carolina Park Plan Development Agreement Amendment.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Ms. Corley, I'm going to see in your lovely face up there.
Thank you so much. Thanks for coming to my last day of work.
Of course. So I know y'all are familiar with this project, but in order to move forward with it, we first have to amend the plan development and the development agreement. And so that's what's before you now. So this is an amendment to both documents specific to what is going to occur on the new Tomp tract. So, of course, this is the track we're talking about off Faison Road. It is obviously vacant, surrounded by the airport, the school, and CCSD bus lot. Here we have a close-up. So the goal or the plan is to change the designation within the plan development on this tract. It's currently CPI, so Carolina Park Industrial Economic. The proposal is to create a new tract called the Tomp Tract. It will be have specific uses as outlined here, so it'll be 38 acres. The overall request will be to increase all units throughout Carolina Park by 30 in the form of 30 attainable housing units specific to this tract. The proposed uses on the 11 acres of developable land will be in accordance with the town's economic strategic plan, the town's ED zoning district, which I'll get into more in just a minute. It'll allow for the 30 attainable multifamily housing units specific to this tract, and then civic uses and natural open spaces and pedestrian trails. And then there's also a request, and the public hearing will be held next week, for the development agreement to transfer ownership of Ben Marino Way and then extend the actual development agreement for 2 years. So here's the tract in pink. Again, this will be a new district within the plan development. This is what the land use table would look like. Instead of outline, we wanted to add it to the overall land use table, but instead of outlining all those uses, it's all shaded, and you're going to have a big note at the top that's going to direct you to the text of what the permitted uses are. And so this is to help planners down the road when uses come in to read this chart and to know what the uses are on this tract. This is the scheme, of course, that Town Council chose and that those uses are going to be based on. So what we did was take the recommended clusters from the adopted economics strategic plan, which we have the CRDA priority clusters and then our local clusters. From the NAICS code, we took those jobs in those clusters. And with the code rewrite, we are adding them into our ED permitted zoning district. So this new tract references specifically our town's ED zoning district and those permitted uses. These are additional development standards, so things like parking, buffers. We basically applied what is allowed already in Carolina Park, whether it's commercial or the multifamily. We just kept those same development standards, as well as the parking spaces that are allowed. So that's all pretty straightforward. The one request was that retail spaces must be ancillary to economic development use, and they cannot be less than 5,000 square feet. So that's added into the text as well. So Planning Commission did recommend approval. Their primary concern was that remaining 27 acres not be developed in the future. We did talk to them about the fact that council is committed to preserving that, and then the development agreement does specifically state that tract will remain for passive parks. And so that's all I have. Happy to answer any questions. The applicants are here, and that's all I have.
Madam Chairman, I move for approval to get started.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion from the committee? No? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
And I like the idea that requiring the open space to remain open space in the future.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to item 4B, Market at Oakland Impact Assessment and Conceptual Plan.
All right. This is consideration of an impact assessment and conceptual plan for a commercial development that in all exceeds 40,000 square feet, which is the threshold for an impact assessment. So this is all within the Oakland plan development. That's the parcel at 6 acres on the corner of South Morgan's Point and Porche Bluff. That's all the PD zoning. So there is no PD amendment required here. Everything they want to do is already allowed within the PD as far as uses and their square footage. They just have to do the impact assessment for their traffic counts. So this is the future land use map. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the PD, the square footage, and then the conceptual plan and development standards. So the PD allows for almost 775,000 square feet of AB uses. You can see with all the uses that are already there, The existing total is almost 688. What is before you right now, and I'll come back to that in just a minute. So this request came in for 14,000 square feet of retail, 4,000 square feet of restaurant, 20,000 square feet of medical office. So that alone came up to about 38,000 square feet. The reason they have to do an impact assessment is because previously this 120-room hotel was permitted and approved, but they never built it. When they were ready to come back in and build it, it coincided with these other uses, and we felt like that put them over the 40,000. So if you look at it comprehensively, they needed to do an impact assessment when you added that hotel room back in. So the hotel room in and of itself previously didn't require an impact assessment, and these current uses proposed didn't. But when you put them together, we needed to do the impact assessment. So again, what is before you now is the 121-room hotel, the 14,000 square feet of retail, the restaurant, and then the 20,000 square feet of office. What that leaves is about 4 acres left to be developed within the PD, and they still have about 39,000 square feet left within the entire Oakland plan development. All right. So here's the conceptual plan in the context of the surrounding area. So you have the Walmart. You have the former Genfar building, which has been redone, the Innovation Way Medical Office building. You have Oakland Plantation, and then you have it in conjunction with Porche Bluff and the housing across Porche Bluff. So out of the traffic impact analysis came the requirement for the right turn and the left turn. And they also have to align their curb cut. So you can see that they have to align their curb cut with Bella Oaks, which was mentioned in the public comment. And then they'll have to align their curb cut up on South Morgan's Point with the existing Walmart. Here's the development standard. So it will have to be heavily buffered. You're going to have a 25-foot buffer to the south, and that's adjacent to wetlands anyway. You're going to have a 25-foot buffer along Porche Bluff. This falls into the village scale pedestrian area of our zoning code. And so in lieu of buffering along South Morgan's Point, they're going to do willow oak street trees. And that's going to kind of activate that public area, that retail and restaurant area. So that's what's going to go there. They did do a ULI shared parking study, which staff has already reviewed and approved. So a shared parking between the hotel and that retail is required for 219 spaces. And so that what they're going to do, and we have to commend them. They've worked very closely with our DRB staff. So what they are showing on this conceptual plan is really ready to go to DRB. They have flanked South Morgan's Point and Porche Bluff with their buildings. The hotel is already approved for over there, and then the parking will be kind of behind in between that area. One thing I did want to point out here, too.
Madam Chairman, before she goes,
sure.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. No,
I didn't want you to leave this drawing.
Okay.
Mr. Chapman,
well, go ahead and ask, and we may be getting ready to say the same thing.
There's a sidewalk shown on here. I don't see it specifically.
It may not be, and they'll have to do that. Yeah, they'll have to do the sidewalk.
Okay. I just want to make sure we got a sidewalk.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, along, I guess that's South Morgan's Point. Is there a sidewalk?
And Porche Bluff, South Morgan's Point. Yeah.
Right.
I'll have to do both. What I was going to point out was these three trees in the median. For that required left turn, they're going to have to coordinate with DOT on that as far as replanting it or how that's going to look. So I did want to point out that there are three trees in that median that they'll have to coordinate with DOT on.
I think they can probably do palmettos, but no bushy kind of
trees. Right. So last, Planning Commission did recommend approval. They actually deferred it for 1 month. They wanted to bring it back the next month. They wanted our transportation engineer to be there to explain a few things. Their primary concern was the difficulty of navigating that intersection. And so what our transportation department came to that meeting and explained all the improvements that are going to be included as part of the 41 widening plans, which I've listed here. And so with that assurance, the Planning Commission did recommend approval, and I'm happy to answer questions, and I know that James is here to answer questions as well. Mr. Chapman?
Did we look at the potential for the traffic signal and the exit and lining up with the neighborhood?
Yes, sir. So as part of this impact assessment, volumes were assessed. They're nowhere near meeting the required threshold for the installation of a traffic signal at the new entrance. One of the things that we will look to in the future as part of the 41 widening and the Billy Swales completion is other signalization opportunities at Porches and Billy Swales and potentially at South Morgan's Point and Porches.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about with completion of the Billy Swales and the work on 17 in particular with 41, that I would expect that road will change to four lanes all the way to Billy Swales.
Yes, sir. So the draft plans that we have submitted and reviewed from Charleston County at this point for 41 do show some pretty significant improvements to Porches Bluff, addition of really two lanes to almost to a five-lane section, including the median, right, as well as a multitude of turn lane improvements at the intersection of 17.
Right. I'm happy to hear that. Thank you.
Do we have any further questions from the committee? Ms. Corley?
Michelle, can you explain to me again why this came to us, the whole number thing, and what, if we say no, what happens?
So it's all the permitted uses. It's all allowed. So this thing could, everything they want to do could be done right now.
Well, it can be done, but we are requiring them to do this impact assessment primarily for these traffic improvements.
Okay.
And it's, so our code says that you have to do an impact assessment if you meet 40,000 square feet, if it's a commercial development. If your commercial development hits 40,000 square feet and a certain number of trips. Well, that retail restaurant office that I showed you, it hits 38,000. But because they never built the hotel and they're wanting to come and do it now, there's also a clause in our ordinance that says you can't phase in projects to avoid an impact assessment. So you can't do 10,000 square foot here and then come in next month and do 30,000. That's 40,000. So we said, because you never built the hotel didn't have to do an impact assessment in and of itself. But all of these things together, we needed to see an impact assessment. And so out of that is essentially for you all to review and for council to decide that these traffic improvements that they're proposing are adequate. So it's really about the traffic improvements.
Okay. And these traffic improvements will be paid for by the developer. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes. Okay. Any other questions, Ms. Hyatt?
Let's see. I'm trying to remember which. If it's the slide before or after this.
What did you want to see?
The one that had the image of the natural. Yeah.
Is that it?
Okay. Are they having to fill in wetlands to do that?
No.
Back end?
No.
It's all okay?
No.
Because I just wondered if we've encouraged any low impact development options for this project.
You know, that's interesting. This came up with a project in Carolina Park 2. So it depends on how the plan development's written. For instance, Carolina Park plan development is written in such a way that they are only subject to certain ordinances. So it says in there, future ordinances we are not subject to unless we request to be subject to them. They'd have to write a letter to me and we would say yes. I'd have to go back and look. I'm not sure that the Oakland Plantation wrote themselves out of future ordinances. So it may be that when they come through for DRB, they'll have to meet some of those minimum LID requirements. That'll be looked at during the DRB process, and then we'll have to dig into the PD and make sure they didn't exempt themselves from it. So.
Oh, okay. Or even encourage them.
We encourage it some. Yeah.
You know, maybe they can benefit in some way.
Yeah.
It looks like there's natural drainage going on there, and I didn't know if that was going to get dug up and put a retention pond.
No, ma'am.
Instead of leaving it.
No, ma'am. There's an existing pond there, and I'm sure the applicant can speak to any drainage improvements.
I don't think there's a proposal for another pond. Presumably, they're going to use what's existing.
What?
Okay. There's not. The existing stormwater systems are basically in place. This particular portion of the project has had a number of potential uses over the 15 years that Oakland's been there. As far as the low-impact development, we have been in discussion with staff about meeting the LID guidelines that are now in place. As far as protection of existing vegetation, unique stormwater structures, that sort of thing. So some of that will be incorporated with this project as well.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chapman?
Yes, Madam Chair. This is one of the hubs in our zoning for hotels.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a whole lot of hotels in this area.
No,
and it's something that has been suggested in particular with what's at the end of 41, mm-hmm. all of the ball fields. And so I'm glad to see that. We just need to make sure that from a transportation standpoint, it looks like we're, emphasizing that, which I'm glad to see.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to make sure we got good pedestrian access in and out and throughout that area.
Yes, sir. We will.
Ms. Corbin? Those three trees are super cool going down that street.
Mm-hmm.
I think
they are.
So Planning Commission is going to look at this again. And no, I thought
no. They
heard it.
Planning Commission heard it before you all and recommended approval. So our development review team, staff level, will review it, and DRB will. So yeah. DRB will weigh in. Yes,
and
ma'am.
And transportation, like Brad.
Yes, ma'am.
There.
Yes.
And James. And that traffic on, and I'm sure you guys, but I don't know if you go up there that much, but that intersection on 17 to Porcher's Bluff is on fire. I mean, it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just giving it way more heat. So it's going to DRB. So mm-hmm. if we're just voting on the impact assessment.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any further questions? Mm-hmm. If not, I will entertain a motion on this.
I thought we already had one.
Did we have a motion?
I don't think so. I thought I made one for discussion purposes.
Nope.
I'll make one for continued discussion.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. We are in continued discussion. Is there any further discussion from the committee? Any thoughts on this? I mean, for the way I see it, this is in plan development. All the uses are approved. The important thing is this impact assessment and the additions to the traffic lanes and everything, and then there will be a reassessment once Billy Swells comes online. Is that correct? Is that how I understood it?
Is that correct, James?
Yes. Yes, and there'll be a reassessment at that point, and then
yes,
there could potentially be further
correct
action taken to alleviate any sort of traffic issues.
Okay. Jim, one more question. So they build infrastructure first, and then they build the buildings, right?
Yeah. Typically, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready. Okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Item number 5, discuss building permit allocation system.
All right. So Ms. Whitley asked that I place this on the agenda for discussion and really just to kind of as a reminder that this is set to expire in January. So I just kind of wanted to remind you of a few things as far as why it was put in place, how it was set up, and where we are, because we have been keeping track of it all along. So from 2012 to 2017, over that 5-year period, the town's population increased by 19%, dwelling units increased by 20%. So the first one, that's a 3.54% average annual population growth. And then the dwelling units, that's an average 3.37. So obviously that was very rapid growth. In 2018, town council started talking about putting some sort of growth management plan in place to control the growth. The building permit allocation was passed on January 8th, 2019. It was a 5-year program. The purpose was to distribute at a reasonable rate and in a manner intended to limit the pace of construction. And as you all know, there has been many transportation improvements to try and catch up with all of that growth. So it has been successful in that regards. The exemptions included affordable housing, additions, renovations, replacements, and then those that are governed by a development agreement. So that was Liberty Hill Farms and Carolina Park. And then last, the number of single family permit applications were limited to a single development or subdivision, 25 semi-annual, so 50 annual. So here's what it looked like January to June, and then the annual totals. And then here's what it looked like over the five-year period. So over the five-year period, 2,400 single family, 100 accessory, multifamily was 500 for a total of 3,000. And if you'll recall, the single family is doled out semi-annually. The multifamily, the 500, were made available immediately. So I just was kind of walk you through how this was, Building and Inspections Division kept track of this over the last almost 5 years. So what they would do is put down period one, so the first six-month period, how many was issued, and then, again, the ordinance was written as such that if we didn't use any, again, this is only single family, they would carry over to the next six-month period. So here's what you had for year one, year two. So, and I'll get to this in just a minute, but you're going to see that each year more and more was carried over for single family. So we never came close to hitting the max on the single family. And at this point, we're carrying over almost 800 now. So again, to look at the growth from 2015 to 2018, that average growth in dwelling units was 3.45. And then 2019 to 22, it dropped down to 1.77. So I think if you look at how many permits were issued, we never hit that max that was allocated. So whether it was market, whether it was cyclical anyway, but it did go down during that time period. So here again was what the program allocated, and then here are the actual permits that were issued. So as of now, we've issued almost 1,170 single family, and we're allocated 2,400. ADUs we did max out on, so we did issue 100. Right now there's a waiting list there's a waiting list for people to apply in July of 24. Obviously, this may not be in place, but that's where we're at. I think there's 6 slots left for ADUs, so that's not filled up yet. And then the multifamily, 490 were issued pretty quickly. They were already allocated. We've got 10 that have been sitting there, and nobody has been able to use them because of the multifamily moratorium. So if you don't do, that's in place too. So you can't do 10 units unless they're affordable housing, attainable housing. So that's what we have left right now. And again, this is set to expire in January, and then the multifamily moratorium is set to expire March 16th.
Question on the 490 that were issued for multifamily dwelling. Those were just issued, but those were not able to be built, right, because of the
No, they were built.
They were built, okay.
Yeah, it was mostly South Bay, the CCRC. We had, I think, the Legacy at Patriots Annex, and then I think one at Carolina Park. So, yeah.
And were they were issued prior to the moratorium?
They were already allocated and approved.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it seems pretty clear, to me anyway, that the ADUs is where we're maxing out on this, right? Like, single family, we're not.
Mm-mm.
But ADUs and multifamily, I think if the moratorium were to go away, I think it would, to me, it seems necessary that I would recommend that we re-up the building permit allocation system with just sort of clean slate, start over with the similar units to what we have now. I think reducing that growth rate is important and key, especially with public overcrowding of our public schools and just sort of reining in and maintaining that sort of steady, slow and steady growth in the community. That's my thoughts on this. Any other members of the committee want to speak to this? Ms. Hyatt?
I agree that those are areas we really should keep an eye on. And I'm not sure about rolling things over.
I mean, that's what I said, yes. Clean slate.
Oh, not rolling over.
Not rolling
over. That be
clean
part
slate.
Of it too, yes.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, you might want to limit accessory dwelling units because you could get one in everybody's backyard. So that's important. Keep an eye on.
Madam Chairman, I have a question to see if the lawsuit with Park West and Dunes West, where we reduced a good number of units, is included in this, or was it? Did it happen prior to 2019?
I think that happened in 20. Yeah, I think that happened prior. That was like 2017 or 2018. Yeah.
Prior to this, sir. Right. Say again. Prior. Prior to 20. Okay.
Yeah.
I was curious whether that was included. I know it did because I was, at the time I was on the Planning Commission, and we had some good meetings about that, and fortunately the lawsuit worked. So
I think that was part of the 2018 amendment where we cleaned up their ordinance and then they lowered their units. And just a reminder too, we are wrapping up our code rewrite. The two sections left are getting finished up. One of those are the hubs. The hubs are going to be proposed as mixed-use overlays. Our consultants are working on it now. There's some, you know, there's some nuances with how to do it. And so we are hoping to have those last two meetings with the Planning Commission, the workshops in December for trees and hubs, and then we will wrap it all up and be bringing that to you. So I know that the code rewrite was a factor in the moratorium extension, and so I wanted to provide that update as well.
And if we were to move forward with sort of an extension of the building permit allocation system, it would require two readings. Is that correct? So it would need to be on November's agenda and December's agenda in order to be in place and extended for January. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so this committee would need a recommendation from this committee to full council for next Tuesday.
It would have to go to Planning Commission for a public hearing, right?
The Planning Commission as well. Of course, historically, council has, in certain circumstances, had first reading, then Planning Commission, and then second reading. So that is a way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do I have a motion from the committee?
I move that we send this to council on Tuesday. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second that we send the building permit allocation system potential extension to full council. Is there any further discussion on this?
Before we leave this with the motion, I think it needs to be more specific, not just send it to council. What are we sending to council?
The building permit allocation system.
I would suggest that you recommend approval of a permit allocation system extension.
So
you need to be specific. We had some issues with being specific at our last meeting.
Oh, as opposed to discussion versus recommend for approval. All right, Ms. Corley, were you recommending for approval in your motion?
Yes.
She was recommending for
approval. I was recommending for
approval. And were you recommending, and your second was also recommending for approval? I'll say, so you can clarify.
Hold on before we... It looks like Mr. Pagliarini wants something else added, so let's hear it.
The extension time period would also be helpful to specify.
Oh. And perhaps the specifics. So are you... With the time period, do you again want to limit single family even though we never used them all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think we might need some discussion on numbers.
I think that this system worked.
Okay.
Well, and so very well. So I think just an extension of this system for an additional 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Hyatt?
And was there anything that we suggested from this committee about any changes, like not having the rollover, or as you mentioned, starting from
I think that
zero,
starting in 2024, we would start with zero,
and right, roll over
and continue to roll over, because if we don't use them, it's okay. And it looks like the ADU and multifamily will probably get used up. So
same numbers: 500 multifamily, 100
ADUs, 2,400 single family.
Because that keeps our growth rate at under 2%, which I believe is the purpose of the original building permit allocation system. Yes, I.
So are we starting with zero on the permits, or we're going to keep all those that we've stacked up?
Zero. Yeah,
start at zero. Zero. I just want that to be very clear.
Okay. Starting over.
You guys want to read it back to us? Just to make
Is that
we have it clear? Yeah. So essentially you want what's in place now, but it starts all over at zero. Mm-hmm. Clock
and
starts ticking at January 8th,
2019. For 5 years.
For five years. Allocated in the same fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
All right. Are all those in favor of the motion for approval for an extension of the existing system for an additional 5 years?
Please say aye.
Aye. We have the ayes have it. Okay. Moving on to item 6, consideration of a waiver from the one-year waiting period to initiate the zoning request. This was the case of a zoning and annexation where we did the annexation, but we did not do the rezoning where the person, their use comes in as non-conforming. Is that correct?
Yeah. So he essentially was annexed in. The comp plan erroneously has him as conservation open space. When the zoning and comp plan amendment was denied, he came in, so he cannot do anything with his property. He's got a small mobile home on the property, which is now a non-conforming use, so he can't do anything with that. He can't improve it. He can't replace it. So he is requesting consideration from the one-year waiting period, which would go to council next week. And so he can reapply and get his property zoned to community conservation, which is consistent with all the
Move for approval.
The color.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. All right. That brings us on to item 7 of the agenda, which is to adjourn. If there's nothing further to come before this committee, we stand adjourned.
Oh, good job on the permit.